everyone. This is Dee Lawson. I'm back with the final fourth episode of Investing, Financial Advice on Investing. Once again, I'd like to mention that I am not a financial advisor. These are just my personal experiences regarding finances. So, first of all, I'd like for you to know also that if you have any specific requests so far as investing, you probably should get a financial advisor. And hopefully with some of the information that I will relate to you today, which is August 17th, 2020, hopefully you will get some information on what questions you should ask before you get a financial advisor. So, how did I get here? Just about was pushed into it. I was just a regular retiree that was enjoying life, and all of a sudden I had to take stock of my own life, my own investments, my own bills and everything. So this is why I know you have to be able to identify what you need, when you need it, and how to get there. So how do you do that? You do that by setting goals for your future. So the steps to investing. You can't invest until you have your emergency fund set up. You can't have your emergency fund set up until you have your household savings identified. You can't have your savings set up until you know your budget. And you can't get your budget under control until you know your net worth. That's why once you have these items under control, then you can invest. So your steps in investing are assessing your net worth, setting up your budget and controlling your credit card debt, deciding on what and how you want to invest, setting up your savings account, CD accounts, emergency funds, tax-exempt accounts, long-term care accounts. You also must understand scams and frauds. Then you invest. The main reason you need to invest is because your bank's savings accounts do not keep up with inflation. If you'll check out the Consumer Price Index on the internet, you'll find that in general, the Consumer Price Index rises about 2% a year. You're not going to get that in the banks. So you must find some way to stay ahead of inflation. You invest for the long term. You trade for the short term. If you want to just trade stocks, you know, that's what you do in the short term. Your mattresses savings do not work because it will not keep up with inflation, for one thing. So some of the information you might need to check out are the Consumer Price Index, the CBO Index, which is the VIX, that tells you how volatile the market is going to be. Your Social Security, if you're counting on Social Security for retirement, you have to realize it was not set up for that purpose. Social Security was only meant to supplement your income in your retirement phase of life. But Social Security has come under such constraints that it's very difficult to count on what is going to happen in the future with Social Security. The reason I promote exchange traded funds is for several reasons, but number one is for compound interest. You're investing in the stock market with the least amount of risk, less than investing in individual stocks. You have to understand any investing includes risk. You have to decide what your risk tolerance is. If you really are nervous about the stock market, there are other avenues to invest. You can invest your money in CDs and annuities, which tie your money up for a long period of time, but it gives you a little bit more relaxation and knowing that after a period of time, you'll have that money available to you. But that also comes with risk and very high fees. You can invest in T-bills, which give you a guaranteed interest rate, but it's low. You can invest in savings bonds, high yield savings accounts, money market funds, dividend paying stocks. These are all lower interest rate avenues, and they don't have as much risk as investing in individual stocks or exchange traded funds. Some of the terms that you probably will need to understand if you're going to invest are diversification. Number one, for any investments that you do, you really need to diversify across different sectors. Compound interest, that's where you put your money in, and the money that you put into a stock or a company is compounded over time. You're getting interest on top of the interest that you make. As long as you leave the money in, it's just reinvested in that business and your money compounds and it will appreciate over time. Tax sheltering, dollar cost averaging, conservative versus aggressive investing. That's your risk tolerance. Risk factors, inflation, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, fiduciary advisor, dividend paying stocks, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, BLS, growth versus value stocks, managed versus passive investing, the exchanges, the New York Stock Exchange, the S&P 500, the Dow, and the NASDAQ. You'll also need to know about sectors. These are all different terms that you need to be aware of. Fundamental versus technical analysis, a benchmark, the CBOE, which is the Volatility Index, the VIX. So all of these terms you may want to check out just to make sure that you understand those different terms. The percentage of your investment in the stock market may depend on your risk tolerance, or it could be your outlook for the future, or possibly your age. All of those are just different ideas that may affect what you or what your risk tolerance is. Younger investors may invest more in individual stocks because they have a longer horizon to recoup any losses, whereas older individuals or individuals who are post-retiring may not have that much time before they need the money. Everyone's starting point is different. For instance, the Generation Z, who is 23 years old or less, may have 5 to 10% of their money in cash, 10 to 20% in checks for bills, 10% in low-risk investments, and 60% in high-risk investments. Millennials 24 years to 39 years of age could have 10% in cash, 10 to 20% in checks, 10% in bonds, annuities, or T-bills, 10% in low-risk investments, and 50% in high-risk investments. Generation X, that is 40 years old to 55 years of age, may have 5 to 10% in cash, 10 to 20% in checks for bills, 20% in annuities or bonds or T-bills, 10% in low-risk investments, and 40% in high-risk investments. And baby boomers, which includes me, 56 years of age to 74 years of age, may have 10% in cash, 10% in checks, 20 to 25% in annuities, bonds, or T-bills, 20% in low-risk investments, and 35 to 40% in high-risk investments. This is more of an aggressive investment strategy. You select 3 to 5 investments to start, hopefully with about $1,000. Young people should include 1 ETF and 2 individual stocks. If you're older, that is post-retiring, you should include 3 ETFs, exchange-traded funds. Or if you invest monthly, you could do what's called dollar cost averaging with $100 to start and just include that amount every month, no matter what. You do want to start, though, when the market is down, or at least when your specific stock is down. Some of the high-risk growth investments are included in the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ is an index and an exchange. It tracks 3,500 stocks, the largest by market cap. It has the highest trading volume and is comprised mainly of companies in the technical sector or growth sector. What it stands for is the National Association of Securities Dealers Automated Quotients Exchange. Some of the companies that are included are Facebook, Amazon, and Alphabet. These are called those companies. Now, the Dow is an index of the 30 major companies, and these are the blue chip stocks. They have low volatility, whereas the NASDAQ had high risk, high volatility. The Dow has low volatility. The Dow stands for the Dow Jones Industrials Average. It's an index that tracks 30 large publicly owned companies in the U.S. that are traded on the New York Stock Exchange and the NASDAQ. The examples of companies in the Dow are American Express, 3M, Apple, Exxon, Johnson & Johnson, and Boeing. The Dow is concerned with stock prices and earnings. The market value of the Dow is at least $40 million for each one of the businesses in the Dow. The S&P 500 is the largest publicly traded, has the largest publicly traded U.S. companies, with the companies having market capitalization of about $5 billion. These include companies like Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, Facebook, Berkshire Hathaway, Alphabet. The Russell 2000 Index represent the small capitals. They include 3M and U.S. stocks. They're the bottom two-thirds of the Russell 3000, which has 2,000. The 2000 contains 4,000 U.S. companies. The minimum market cap for the Russell 2000 is $30 million. For information on the economic news of the United States, you would go to the BLS, the Bureau of Labor Statistics. This would give you also the U.S. productivity, consumer price information, employment, and producer price index. Sectors. The sectors of the different indexes in the market are as follows: materials, industrials, financials, energy, consumer discretionary, information technology, communication services, real estate, healthcare, consumer staples, and utilities. Materials sector handles raw materials, that is, chemicals or mining metals, different companies. For example, Rio Tinto, Vale, and Ecolab. The industrials consist of aircraft, electrical, transportation, industrial machinery. For example, Boeing, Lockheed, and GE are industrial companies. Financials include the banks, Bank of America, Visa, PayPal, Berkshire Hathaway. The energy sector is earth, energy, natural gas and oil, coal, refining companies. For example, Exxon, Schlumberger, and Halliburton. Consumer discretionary consists of things we use every day. Autos, apparel, hotels, restaurants. For example, Carnival, Grubhub, and Party City are in that category. Information technology consists of internet world, software, hardware, semiconductors. For example, Apple, Intel, Oracle. Communication services consist of telecom, media, and entertainment companies. For example, Verizon, Facebook, Walt Disney, Comcast. The real estate industry consists of REITs, anything to do with real estate, Redfin, American Tower, Simon Properties, Public Storage are examples of the real estate sectors. Healthcare, medical devices and services, and drugs, for example, Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, and Abbott Lab. Consumer staples consist of food manufacturing and distributors, non-durable household goods, personal care products and beverages, necessities of life. For example, Coca-Cola, Colgate-Palmolive, Procter & Gamble, and Walmart. And finally, the utilities consist of fundamental necessities that we use every day, water, gas, electricity. For example, NextEra, Duke Energy, Exelon, Dominion Energy. These are all the different sectors that you would select from when you decide to purchase either individual stocks or exchange-traded funds. Some of the websites that you can go to for information on investing are my website, pinterest.com/deescollect/finance. You can go to khanacademy.com, susiearman.com. Shows and seminars and TV programs include Jim Cramer's Mad Money. You need to know about trading, even if you are even if you're an investor. You need to understand the difference between trading and investing, whether you're going to hold your investments for a certain amount of time or not. You need to listen to different speakers to get understanding of what encompasses each. His book, Get Rich Carefully, Jim Cramer's book, is also very helpful. Rick Edelman, The Truth About Money. Ken Fisher, Annuity Insights. Burton G. Malkiel's A Random Walk Down Wall Street. That was my favorite book. It taught me quite a bit. Also, on the internet, you should go to Investopedia for a lot of investment advice and information. MoneyTrack.org, Consuelo Max, WealthTrack.com, and AARP.org for finance. It's very interesting. Once you're invested, you want to verify your beneficiaries regularly, at least every 2 to 3 years. You invest with your spouse or partner. Both need to be on the same page regarding investing. You can't have one spending money and one making money. It won't work. To select the individual companies, you select what you buy, what you have faith in, what you think will last. You might want to check out ESG. It's a new term in investing. It stands for environment, social, and governance, and it has to do with companies that take into consideration those things that you might be interested in and investing in. In time, invest in foreign companies, especially ETFs in foreign companies, for diversification. Diversification is the number one goal. Invest in ETFs for funds to emulate the index. This gives you the greater exposure to more companies. You invest in individual stocks for a higher return on your investment, but it's more risky. Remember, Tina, there is no alternative. What you need to do as soon as you can is invest. And checking out on the internet these different informational topics that I've given you is a starting point to getting you in the investment game. So hopefully I've given you some ideas of where to start, and I hope that it helps you. Thank you, and have a wonderful rest of your day.